Chapter 38. Her first few hours' dash around the thinker facilities in this remote footprint of Ohio left Maggie overwhelmed, exhausted. All she wanted was to retire to her cabin on the Duke and drink some single malt and chew over her impressions so far with Joe McKenzie, or failing that, since good old Mac was long dead, with a compatible soul like Jane Sheridan. But that wasn't an option, it seemed. As the light of day began to fade, the electric cart returned them to the central landing area where the Duke was still tethered, and alongside it now hovered another ship she didn't recognize, sleek, jet black, very expensive looking, obviously private. Lights gleamed from an extensive observation deck built into its lower hull.
"That's where we'll be guests for dinner,"
Cutler said smoothly.
"Guests? Of whom?"
"An old friend." He glanced at her. "Don't worry. You'll get a chance to freshen up. We had spare uniforms shipped aboard earlier. You do smell a little of dog. And we're going to take a ride. A proper view of your new domain from the air."
He grinned at her, almost evilly.
"You ain't seen nothing yet, Kaufman."
Maggie had pulled long watches before. She rolled with the punches. And maybe it helped that her capacity for surprise had already been dulled when, a couple of hours later, in a glittering observation lounge crowded with guests, she met her host, in his wheelchair. A servant, a young man who looked as massive as a troll, stood stolidly behind him.
"Douglas Black," she said, staring.
He grinned, almost elfin, his face a crumpled but suntanned mask. He was totally bald, his scalp covered by huge liver spots, and his eyes were large behind thick glasses.
"The same."
He held up a spindly arm, a bony hand. She tucked her peaked cap under one arm and had to suppress a childish shudder of revulsion at the prospect of taking that claw-like hand. But when she did so, the flesh was leathery but warm.
"I haven't seen you since 2045, he said without hesitation, "when you deposited me on Caracal.
Earth-West 239,741,211.
Well remembered. My Shangri-La, my refuge against illness and aging. And it worked, as you can see."
He lifted up his arms, looking oddly like a clumsily worked string puppet.
"I'm 106 years old, yet I think you'll agree I don't look a day over 98. And that joke is even older than me. Welcome to my humble vessel."
With a soft shudder, the airship began to rise. Looking around, Maggie saw that immense windows and transparent panels in the floor offered a wide view of the receding ground. The setting sun cast long shadows across a carpet of thinker components. Her view expanded further as the twain rose. There was the rabbit fence, the compound of the trolls and beagles, itself a vast expanse. But, she could see now, even that was an island, surrounded in the further distance by more of the thinker construction.
"Here," Ed Cutler stood by her. He handed her a glass of champagne. "I suspect you need this."
Black raised a glass of fruit juice.
"To health, long life, and a fruitful cooperation."
Maggie smiled. "I can hardly not drink to that." The champagne was exquisite, delicate, but too refined for her taste, she knew. She'd swap a bucketful of it for a measure of a decent single malt.
"Look, Mr. Black, I'm new to all this."
"I know."
"You said cooperation? Cooperation over what?"
Cutler growled.
"You can blame Professor Golding and her collaborators in Messengers, Inc. for that. Next, we're worried that the project wasn't progressing as well as it could, the developments being patchy. The industrial concerns they're consulting with on the low Earths either don't have the capacity or can't deliver the quality. Shambolic organizations like the Long Earth Trading Company, for instance."
"And so they came to me, naturally," Black said. "The Black Corporation has set the standard for high quality, high capacity, rapid delivery and innovation for 80 years already, I could hardly refuse such a challenge as this, Captain Kaufman.
Admiral,
although I admit to some concerns, principally that we don't actually know quite what it is we're building, do we?
He smiled coldly at Cutler.
You see, I'm a skeptic too, Admiral Cutler. If I left my ship, you would no doubt lock me up in your compound with the millennial catastrophists. As for myself, I believe one should hope for the best, but prepare for the worst, always.
Admiral Kaufman, I'm sure we'll have many fruitful conversations on the subject in the days to come.
But Maggie was increasingly distracted by what she was seeing, as the transformed landscape opened up beneath the rising twain. In amongst the vast carpet of machinery, there were still patches of bare earth, even stands of forest, and the lapping technology stayed away from river courses and standing water. But otherwise, it covered the land. And Maggie started to see patterns emerging that were nothing to do with the local geography. Round structures, larger circles enclosing nests of smaller ones. Cutler stood at her side.
As we go further up, it's easier to see the whole thing, even though it's obviously incomplete.
What's with the circles?
That's the dominant design element that we can detect anyhow. The smallest are around 10 paces across, the size of a small apartment maybe. Then they scale up, clusters in rough powers of 10. 100 yards, the size of a city block, 1,000 yards... The Poindexters think this is something to do with distributed processing. The whole thing's a kind of computer, remember? You get some problem broken down into pieces that are worked out in these circles and subcircles, and then it's all gathered together at the top level.
It's a privilege to see this emerge, isn't it?
Black said, rolling up in his chair.
A vision from an alien mind, I'm told, and designed and built by the superhuman next. Remarkable.
Maggie said, I admit I'm surprised to see you here in person, to tell the truth, sir. You did seem comfortable at Caracal.
She looked at Cutler. This was a joker in the far reaches of the long earth, low gravity and high oxygen, and Mr. Black had a theory that those environmental conditions would extend human life.
Black said, Well, I appear to have been correct. I'm the living proof.
You hope to attract others like yourself, the elderly rich, seeking a retirement community.
It was to be a kind of brains trust for mankind, he said ruefully. An arena for medical innovation, funded by myself and the other Strudbrugs. But it was not to be, alas. I was doomed by geology.
Geology?
Admiral, I was foolish enough to fund an investigation into why that particular Earth should have such low gravity, why it should be so less massive than the average. Unfortunately for me, my hired rock hounds returned with an answer. All Earths, it seems, contain radioactive materials, and on all Earths, these can gather to form tremendous natural nuclear reactors, or naturally occurring fission bombs, on a huge scale.
He spoke of the early datum Earth, of concentrations of isotopes, of thorium, uranium, plutonium, gathering in great loads at the boundary of the outer core and the mantle, gathering and ultimately going critical.
Some theorists believe that such detonations split the moon from the datum Earth, or at least expelled the mantle material that went on to form the moon. The largest nuclear explosion managed by mankind was the Tsar Bomb. That created a fireball 6 miles across. The datum's moon-creating detonation would have been equivalent to 10 trillion Tsars. And on Caracal, it seems, there were even larger explosions.
Cutler whistled.
Yeah. If it stripped away so much mass that it actually reduced the planet's gravity, it must have been a hell of a bang.
And some of my investors, hearing that my precious refuge was actually a relic of nuclear detonations, were deterred by the fear of residual radioactivity, you see.
That's absurd, Maggie said. The fallout, even the isotopes that created the detonation, must have decayed away eons ago.
I know. but these are precious souls who are highly motivated to preserve their own skins, and are willful in terms of placing large investments. The slightest hint of a sniff of a problem with a place like Caracal, and it was doomed. I still have a residence there, I and a few others, but my dream of a Shangri-La of the Long Earth is finished.
Cutler said, "Well, I guess we're glad to have you with us, despite that, sir. Aren't we, Admiral Kaufman?" "Admiral?"
Still the twain rose. Still the tremendous sprawl of the engineered landscape extended beneath Maggie. She was losing her perspective. Her eye sought patterns. Maybe there was still a hint of that circular motif in there, circles upon circles, overlapping like craters on the moon.
"No more bullshit, Ed. How big is this thing going to get?"
"You ain't seen nothing yet."
He spoke of these circles. 100 yards, then 1,000, then 10,000. What's that? 6 miles?
He nodded.
"We threw up a couple of satellites. You can pick out the circular groupings, or at least the pattern-seeking software can. 6 miles, yeah. Then 60. Then 600. And it's still growing, even without our help. As to how they're building it so fast, 3 words, Admiral. Alien replicator tech. Deployed here on Aegis soil. You and I need to have a conversation about that. On the outer edge, there are some kind of self-replicating components that are starting to spread out of their own accord."
600 miles?
"Just here, we're hovering over the Cincinnati footprint. You understand that this version of North America isn't quite identical to our own on the datum. East-west, the thinker already stretches from Washington, D.C. to St. Louis. North-south, from Detroit to Atlanta, Georgia. It avoids the major water courses, so it's lapping around the Great Lakes, for instance. But to the east, it's already spilling over the Appalachians."
"My God, it must cover half the continental U.S.
"Per gram," those bright kids had said. This stuff was smarter than all humanity put together. Per gram. And here was a concatenation of it, half the size of the nation itself.
"What the hell are we building here, Ed?"
"You're in charge now, Maggie. You tell me."
Behind her, Maggie was peripherally aware of a figure in a plain black robe approaching Black.
"Mr. Black, I'm sorry to bother you. We've never met, but your people were kind enough to invite me aboard. I couldn't help but overhear your conversation about the risks involved with this project, the invitation, the thinker. I represent a dissident group of Next, a conservative group who, like you, are concerned that we should, how did you put it, prepare for the worst. I wonder if we could talk about cooperation. We call ourselves the Humble. My name is Marvin Lovelace."